Earlier this week, a federal appeals court allowed the latest version of the Trump administration's travel ban to partially go into effect. That means the government can, at least temporarily, keep travelers from six majority Muslim countries from entering the U.S. This is the third iteration of the travel ban, and joining me to talk about it is Shobha Sivaprasad Wadia, a law professor at Penn State University and director of the Center for Immigrants' Rights Clinic there. And Shobha, what do you make of the fact that the ban was allowed to partly go into effect? I mean, what does it mean for the future of this iteration of the travel ban?
It's hard to know what the future holds because the decision that came down from the Ninth Circuit was itself temporary. There will be oral arguments early next month, and that's when we'll see a final ruling made.
Is there a way, do you think, for the administration to write something like this, an executive order, a proclamation, something like that, that would pass legal muster and would be permanent?
Maybe. It's difficult to have that conversation because what we've seen so far has really flown in the face, I think, of not only our Constitution, but even the framework of the immigration statute. So the immigration statute's called the Immigration and Nationality Act. And there is, just as one example, a provision in this statute that says that when you are issuing immigrant visas, the government shall not discriminate because of a person's race, sex, nationality, place of birth, or place of residence. And, you know, Congress put that language in 1965. And so any prescription to suspend entry and essentially block the issuance of visas to people based on country of birth or nationality, in my view, would violate that section of the statute.
But the courts have upheld the ban on people who do not have a bona fide relationship to the U.S., family or otherwise, from some of those countries. So does it seem like maybe the courts are willing to allow some of that to happen?
Well, I think we have more ambiguity of what the courts will do given this week's decision. It's important to remember that the bona fide relationship was a term that was quite frankly invented by the U.S. Supreme Court on the heels of the second ban, when the Supreme Court partially reinstated 2.0 for those who lack a credible bona fide relationship to a person or entity. I personally don't think that satisfies the statute or removes some of the constitutional arguments that exist in this case.
Would you say that the only way to really get around that is for Congress to change the law?
If there were to be the categorical policy change that was fashioned as an executive order and later as a proclamation, it may very well require an act of Congress in order to be enacted. But I would also say that, you know, Congress too has to be careful because Congress is also not in the business of fashioning statutes that are inconsistent with the reading of the statute as a whole or the spirit or the language of the U.S. Constitution.
When the courts are hearing arguments about this most recent travel ban, do the previous ones come into play at all? Are they only hearing arguments about what is specifically in this ban, or do you think lawyers might try to bring up sort of what has become the evolution of this issue?
I think that lawyers and courts are highly likely to bring up the sequence of events that have led to the most recent ban. And in fact, there was yet another order signed in late October, which may be beyond the scope of this call. But I think that it is important to make the argument that the current executive order, when read and interpreted with the first two, really show discriminatory intent and suffer from some of the same flaws as the first two. I actually think a challenge to the third travel ban can stand on its own, even without using one or two as a reference point. And here's why. If you look at the countries targeted by 3.0 and how they're targeted, in most cases, all immigrants, so those seeking admission on a permanent basis, are subject to the restriction if they are on the list. And that is incongruent and inconsistent with the non-discrimination clause of the Immigration and Nationality Act.
Shobha Sivaprasad Wadia is director at the Center for Immigrants' Rights Clinic at Penn State. Shobha, thanks a lot for your time.
Thank you for having me.